content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with AARP, the magazine, and we're going to continue on with an article that we started last time, Who's the Muse? If you've ever wondered who was the inspiration behind these popular songs, one author got the scoop. So today, let's look at Groovin', The Young Rascals, 1967. Felix Cavalier, singer and co-writer. Back in 1966, I was hopelessly in love with a girl I was dating named Adrian. I had met her at a friend's house in Pelham Manor, New York, where I'm from, and she became my muse. Adrian was my first serious girlfriend, and our relationship lasted about a year. Many of my best songs were written about her, or because of her, including Lonely Too Long, Girl Like You, and How Can I Be Sure? Like most musicians, I always worked Friday and Saturday nights, which meant Adrian and I only had Sundays together. Groovin' expressed the bliss I felt relaxing with her, watching the world go by. Adrian knew Groovin' was written about her and us. When I played her the single, she smiled and said, "Wow, that's lovely." Adrian was an angel who came into my life and then left. If It Makes You Happy, Sheryl Crow, 1996. This is by Jeff Trott, guitarist and co-writer. I started writing If It Makes You Happy right after my girlfriend, Quinn, broke up with me in 1994. Starting the song was part of the grieving process. I opened a crappy $1 bottle of sherry and sat at my little Baldwin Acrosonic piano. I thought about what I could have done to keep her in L.A. I turned on my little cassette player, recorder, and started ranting. Crow. When Jeff played me what he had for If It Makes You Happy, I heard it as a message to quit complaining. By that point, my first album had sold 6 million copies, so how could everything be so bad? Trot. After the Sheryl Crow tour, I reached out to Quinn and asked if she had heard If It Makes You Happy. I told her that she was the inspiration. The line went quiet. Then she said, "Oh, wow." Today, Quinn and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. We married in 2005 and have two sons. And finally for today, Midnight Train to Georgia, Gladys Knight and the Pips, 1973. Jim Weatherly, songwriter. One evening in 1970, I called Lee Majors, an actor friend who had just started dating model Farrah Fawcett. Farrah answered. She said Lee wasn't home and that she was packing to take a midnight plane to Houston to visit her folks. What a great line for a song, I thought. I grabbed my guitar and wrote Midnight Plane to Houston in about 45 minutes. Sissy Houston, who recorded the song in 1972. I loved the song, but I wanted to change the title. My people are originally from Georgia, and they didn't take planes to Houston or anywhere else. Knight. While recording that single later, I was thinking about my own situation. My husband was unhappy because I was often on the road or recording. I was going through the same thing that I was singing about, which is probably why it sounds so personal. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, last time we had started an article about where to keep your cash, and we had one more section here, prepare for future needs. An expense that's out of the ordinary isn't necessarily unpredictable. Perhaps you would like to take a vacation or buy a new car, or maybe you'll be financing a wedding someday soon. Things will go more smoothly if you start putting money away now, separate from your emergency fund and perhaps in a different account for each projected big expenditure. Finally, don't despair if having the even 3 months' worth of living expenses on hand feels impossible. Only about 4 in every 10 Americans have enough savings to cover an unplanned expense of $1,000, according to a survey by Bankrate. You can build up your cash reserve bit by bit. Start small and remember that every dollar saved can cover some kind of emergency, says Pew of Creative Planning. She cites a woman she was advising who had managed to set aside just $100 in her emergency fund. When the battery died in the woman's car, that $100 in the bank was most welcome. Now we have part two here, and where to keep your cash now. Your best option depends on the amount you have, the convenience you want, and the yield you accept, among other factors. This is by Karen Hube. Now, it's like a graph. And so in the left-hand column, it's the type. Next comes the yield. Next comes the pros, then the cons, then the bottom line, and then for your information. So let's start with a checking account, a basic account at a bank or credit union. Yield is 0 to 2%. Pros, cash is instantly available via a debit card or ATM, up to $250,000 per person, per account type, is insured by the FDIC or the NCUA. Cons, interest is low, sometimes nil. Fees can be high. Monthly maintenance fees for interest-bearing accounts average $16.19. Overdraft fees, $29.80. Insufficient funds, $26.58. The bottom line, it's ideal for everyday spending and bill paying, but not for stashing significant amounts of money. FYI, accounts labeled high yield checking usually apply to the teaser rate to only a small portion of an account balance. High yield savings account. An account available at both online and traditional banks. It yields up to 4.3%. You can easily transfer money between these accounts and your checking account. Deposits are insured. Cons, the number of free monthly withdrawals may be limited. At traditional banks, minimum balances tend to be higher than those of standard savings accounts. Bottom line, if you're comfortable banking with your computer or smartphone app, online banks offer the best rates and lowest fees. FYI, go to bankrate.com or depositaccounts.com to find offers for these and other banking products. Money market accounts, a high-yielding bank or credit union account, yields up to 4.15%. Pros, funds are insured and available via check or debit card. Cons, withdrawals are typically limited to about 6 per month. Fees often apply when deposit minimum from 100 to more than 2,000 aren't maintained. Bottom line, if you meet minimum deposit requirements, it's a good place for storing cash you don't need on a daily basis, but want to access occasionally by check. FYI, features vary by bank. For example, Discover Bank has a high minimum deposit. Sallie Mae has no minimum deposit and offers check writing but no debit card. A certificate of deposit, a savings account that locks up your money for a specified amount of time. Yields, 6-month CDs get up to 4.39%, 1-year CDs up to 4.75%. Rates are generally higher than for savings and money market accounts, deposits are insured, and advertised interest is guaranteed. Cons, you'll usually pay a penalty for cashing out early. Fixed yields mean you may be locked into below market terms if interest rates rise. Bottom line, a CD is a safe place to park cash you don't need in the short term. FYI, online CD rates tend to beat those offered by your local bank. Most of the time, the longer a CD's term length, the higher the yield. Money market funds, a mutual fund that holds short-term, low-risk assets like CDs and U.S. Treasury debt, yields up to 4.5%. Pros, funds are low risk. You can write checks against your balance and make electronic transfers. Yield may rise if short-term rates do. Cons, your balance isn't insured, but loss of principal is extremely rare. Bottom line, these funds sold by fund companies and brokers are good for holding emergency money or cash you plan to invest soon. FYI, a 401k might include a similar option, a stable value fund. It typically pays more than a money market fund, but may have restrictions on the timing of withdrawals. Treasury bills, U.S. government debt maturing in a year or less sold at treasurydirect.gov or through a broker. Yields, 4 weeks at 4.19%, 1 year at 4.79%. Yields are ultra safe and currently higher than what bank accounts pay. Interest is exempt from state and local taxes, but not federal taxes. Cons, you can lose yield if you sell before the bill matures. Setting up an account at Treasury Direct isn't a user-friendly process. That is not. FYI, no, bottom line, if you're certain you won't need the money before maturity, this is a great option. Yields are higher than they have been in years. FYI, Treasury Direct also sells U.S. debt with longer maturities, but yields on those notes and bonds, which are usually higher, are now too low to be worth locking in. And finally, Series 1 Savings Bond. U.S. bonds with a yield pegged to inflation, interest is paid when you cash out, and it yields 6.89%. Yields are now higher than on any other government security. Interest is free of state and local taxes and can be free of federal taxes if used for college expenses. Investment minimum is $25. Cons, your money is locked up for 1 year. Redemptions before 5 years incur an interest penalty. The interest rate can fall if inflation does. In times of rising or high inflation, they're a great option for money you're sure you won't need for at least a year. And FYI, purchases on Treasury Direct are limited to $10,000 per person per year. File IRS Form 8888 at tax time to buy up to $5,000 more in I-bonds with your federal refund. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, under Real People. Inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. Never too late. I made fear my friend. Stay-at-home mom Renee Brinkerhoff found her true self as a rally race car driver. One day, at age 55, I said to myself, I'm going to race a car. I knew nothing about cars, but I had to go do it. By sharing the cost with a co-driver, I was able to join the 2012 Carrera Panamerica, a 7-day, 2,000-mile rally race through Mexico. It was an extreme experience with danger at every turn, but it changed my life. The following year, I bought a 1956 Porsche 356A and entered the Carrera as the head of my own team and won first in class. As a female driver of a vintage Porsche, I was an anomaly. The more races my team and I podiumed, the more I wondered how we could use the attention to affect change in the world. We came up with the idea of putting the car and team through extreme challenges on each of the 7 continents to raise funds and fight for a cause. But which cause? I happened to meet an FBI agent who investigated child pornography and child sex trafficking. He told me horrifying stories that I couldn't unhear. I thought, this is such a different subject, but it's what I have to do. It's a difficult subject. We created a nonprofit and have supported 13 groups that fight human trafficking and restore its victims. We've raised more than $700,000 toward an annual goal of $1 million. What I've learned is that when you conquer your fears, you find strength you didn't know you had, and you're capable of doing incredible things. And this was as told to Andrea Adleman, Denver resident Renee Brinkerhoff, 66, founded the nonprofit Valkyrie Gives in 2019. We seem to be talking about money today. We have another article here on your money, floods, fires, and home insurance claims. This is from AARP, the Bulletin. Collecting on your policy after a disaster can be another ordeal. These tips could help smooth the process. Here's a scary statistic. About 70% of homeowners who filed claims after the 2020 California wildfires reported problems with their insurer, including difficulty getting claims paid, according to a survey by United Policyholders, a nonprofit that advises consumers on insurance claims. That's just one incident, but take the message to heart. Following a natural disaster, you'll commonly find yourself struggling with your insurer to cover damages to your home and its contents. But there are ways to help reduce the chances of insurance battles, both beforehand and during the crisis. To help speed up payments if disaster strikes, take these steps. Right now, before any crisis, review your homeowner's or renter's policy to verify which claims can be reimbursed. In addition to losses from fire and smoke, standard policies cover damage caused while putting out a fire. If a disaster leaves your home uninhabitable, these policies also reimburse you a certain amount for living expenses, such as rent or hotel bills, restaurant meals, and transportation. Set up time with your insurance agent or a representative from your insurer to talk through disaster scenarios unique to your home and property. What coverage would you have if that maple tree fell in your front yard, that maple tree in your front yard fell on your home due to wind? How about if a fire is caused by human error? If a leaky old pipe damages a wood floor? Sometimes talking it out is easier than deciphering a policy's fine print. Focus on flooding. This is key. Most home insurance policies do not cover flood damage. For that, whether you own or rent, you must purchase a private flood policy. Homeowners, generally speaking, can get up to $250,000 in coverage for the structure itself. Owners and renters can get up to $100,000 in coverage for the home's contents. For more information and links to companies selling insurance in your area, go to the government website, floodsmart.gov. Be aware, after a storm that includes high winds, rain, and flooding, expect insurers to dispute the true cause of the damage in the hopes that the other insurer is on the hook to pay up. A pro tip. If you're hit by flooding or another disaster, you can also reach out to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, for financial assistance and direct services. In September, Hurricane Ian hit the home that Jennifer Halber, 69, rented in Florida's Sanibel Island. But her insurer, citing flooding, said almost none of her losses were covered. Halber did, however, receive almost $3,000 in aid from FEMA. Prepare for the adjuster. Once you file a claim, your insurance company will assign an adjuster to assess the amount of your loss. Pull together a record of the value and purchase dates of the items in your home ahead of time. Take photos or a video of your belongings in and around your home once a year and store that information online or with an out-of-state friend or relative. After a disaster, collect receipts for your living costs and, if possible, repair estimates. The more you can document your property losses before the adjuster arrives, the faster the claims filing process will go, says Douglas Heller, Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, a nonprofit advocacy group. When the insurance company adjuster arrives, be sure to point out all the damages and provide the adjuster with detailed notes, documentation, and bills for any emergency repairs you may already have done. Don't hesitate to ask questions, Heller says. Is the adjuster an insurance company employee or someone brought in from outside? How much experience does the person have? Adjusters' backgrounds may affect their understanding of the cost of rebuilding in your area. Pro tip. Verify the identity of the adjuster and any other workers that come by. Ask for and confirm a contractor's license. During natural disasters, scammers often show up, as well as fly-by-night contractors asking for cash down for doing repairs. Contact your mortgage servicer. Homeowners who are still paying off their mortgage often don't realize that their insurer will put the mortgage servicer's name on a settlement check to protect the lender's financial interest in the property. So call your servicer right after filing a claim to learn what you have to do to get your lender to co-sign the check and release the money, says Janet Ruiz, Director of Strategic Communications for the Insurance Information Institute Trade Company. Failing to do so may also delay receipt of your funds from the insurer. A pro tip, to find the contact information for your servicer, check your monthly mortgage statement for a phone number or website. Track the claims process. While you may get money up front to cover immediate essentials, it could take weeks or months to get a full damage estimate and full payment. Insurers are often swamped by claims in the aftermath of disasters. The United Policyholders survey found that 58% of the California wildfire respondents had not yet settled the dwelling portion of their claim 12 months later. In short, you'll need to stay on top of your claim until it's fully paid. If the insurer says your policy excludes coverage of certain damages or offers an amount that you consider too low, demand that the rep identify the exclusions or limits to your policy in writing, says Gary Baca, president of Counterpoint Public Adjusting in Los Angeles. Perhaps the adjuster did not know how to accurately estimate the value of your property. That may require supplying additional documentation or a new repair estimate. And if an insurer denies a claim by saying it was flooding, not wind or rain, that caused the damage, you can appeal the denial and supply additional documentation, such as expert reports, including a contractor's opinion or photographic evidence. Pro tip. You may be assigned a new adjuster several times during the claims process. Keep a detailed record of your contact with the insurer so you don't have to start from scratch, Heller says. And finally, consider getting help. In some cases, you may want to hire a public insurance adjuster, an independent adjuster who works for you, not the insurer, and represents only you in your claim. This can make particular sense if the insurer is offering much less than you think you deserve, and if you're finding the negotiations and paperwork too complicated to handle. If you're displaced from your home, especially seniors who are very vulnerable, it can be really helpful to have an expert assist you, Baca says. In return, you'll pay a fee, often on a contingency basis and typically capped at 10 to 15% of the insurance payment. In some states, there are no caps. To find a public adjuster, go to the National Association of Public Insurance Adjusters website, NAPIA.com. Ask for references and check that the adjuster is experienced, as well as licensed in your state, though some states don't require licensing. Pro tip, if all else fails, for example, if you believe that your insurance company has broken the terms of your contract, consider hiring a plaintiff's attorney who specializes in insurance law, as well as filing a complaint with your state's Department of Insurance or for a flood claim with FEMA. This article is by Penelope Wang, an award-winning personal finance journalist who has worked at Consumer Reports and Money Magazine. Now from AARP, the magazine, another real people, A Father's Care, Baked with Love, why physician Esdan Fluckinger started a business for his daughter. My youngest daughter, Eleanor, who's 24, has Down syndrome. When she started junior high, my wife and I began to think about her future. We wanted to develop a way for her to have an independent life and gainful employment. At the time, I was also feeling a little burned out by family medicine, which I've practiced in our small Wyoming town since 1999. I had always liked to bake, and I got the idea to start a bakery, which Eleanor could work in. I searched online for baking schools, and the first hit was for Marta Stolier's International School of Baking in Bend, Oregon, which claimed it could teach someone how to start a bakery in 20 days. I was skeptical. How could that work? As it turned out, the school is basically Marta herself, who takes on just one apprentice at a time. In 20 days, she teaches the essential recipes and skills to establish a startup bakery. I went through the program while keeping my medical practice, and we began selling baked goods from home. We were able to open a brick-and-mortar store in 2015, the year before Eleanor graduated from high school. It was a big leap of faith. I was terrified, honestly, but it has worked out. The shop has become a real business with the staff. It's also a place where Eleanor can have a busy day and a productive life. Through the shop, Eleanor has met people from all over the country. It has given her a sense of connectedness. She works the cash register and has a good camaraderie with her co-workers. Everybody in town knows who she is. The bakery has definitely been a big win for our family, though I think it's also done something for our community and beyond. It helps people to see just how someone like Eleanor can accomplish when given an opportunity. And this was as told to Jennifer E. Mabry. Esden Fleckinger, MD, 56, practices family medicine in Torrington, Wyoming, where he and his wife, Lisa, operate the Bread Doctor Bakery. Now, with our last little bit, we'll look at a few more tips from help from AARP. This is in the bulletin. AT&T, members save up to $10 per line per month on a qualifying unlimited plan, plus up to $45 in waived costs and fees. ExxonMobil, link your ExxonMobil rewards account to your AARP membership and earn extra points on fuel and store items. Hotels, 5 to 15% off stays at Best Western, Hilton, Wyndham, and IHG hotels and resorts. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.